Just on faith again. We don't go too often in this walk until the Lord brings us and reminds us that we do walk by faith and not by sight. And that is cited from 2 Corinthians 5:7. And this morning we're simply calling this faith and not emotion. Faith and not emotion. And as I've just read here, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And if you want to make it through, and you want that work, that whole complete work that God has promised to do for the bride that prepares herself and makes herself ready, then you have got to settle it that whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you taste, whatever you smell, whatever, has nothing to do with faith. Faith, God's decree of faith, that gift that He has given us, He has decreed from the foundation of the world that it will have absolutely nothing to do with the sense realm. Period. And yet man compromises, tries to change the word, and he tries to bring the level of faith, the gift of faith, down to his feelings, what he sees, what his mood is like, or whatever he's going through. He tries to bring faith down to man's feelings and emotions. And when man tries to do that, he then tries to change the word of God, the revelation of God's word, to suit him, to his emotions, his feelings, what he's going through, and so on. And we would have thought that after all these years, we would have learned this, but we are still at times falling victim to it. Well, has God made a mistake? Can God do it? Well, I believe he can. And the very fact that he still continues to speak to us after all these years, and some of us it's over 30 years, proves to me the Father's love, his heart, that he's trying to get this from our heads to our heart, that your walk of faith is nothing to do with emotion. You could really bring the six senses, and we all know what those six senses are, under the word or term emotion. Because each sense that you rely upon is ministered to you in an emotional way. For example, taste, touch. If we eat food, whatever goes to our taste buds, it ministers to us in an emotional way. If I touch something, the moment that I touch, whether I touch this hymn book or I touch this CD that is in front of me, that is ministering to me the emotion that is behind that. The feel of it, that it is solid, yet it bends. So my emotions, my senses tell me that bends. It's plastic, it's quite thin, but it's quite pliable. And so it goes on with anything. Anything that we touch, there is an emotion that is attached to it, and it's feeding the brain. It's causing the sense realm to understand, to learn. If we smell smoke in this room, then something tells us something's wrong, there's fire somewhere, and our feet immediately move in a direction of a door. That's why we have fire exit with a figure running. You see? So everything around us, wherever it is, even the very chair you sit on, is ministering to emotions. Now, can God overcome all of that? Can he overcome those emotions that we are bound by every second, every moment of the day? Well, yes. And he is a miracle-working God. And he has decreed it, he has made no mistake in the word of God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's promised. And we start there. we start there. Because if you don't start there, you are never going to go on with this walk. This walk is just going to go completely contrary. And it does. And it does. And that's why the Apostle Paul came to this Corinthian church and he said, by the way, you walk by faith and not by sight. And how often do we not act our faith or really believe unless God speaks to me or he does something? How often have we got to a stage in our walk of faith, God has got to do something or else? And he knows exactly what he's doing. And very often he brings us to that point of desperation. God has got to do something. And what is he doing? He's trying to show you that your emotions, what you are looking at, what you're deciding upon, has got nothing to do with your walk of faith. Now God can do it. And each one of us in this assembly are at degrees and at our areas where God is actually bringing us to the end of self. When we actually mean that he's bringing me to the end of myself, he's actually bringing you to the end of relying upon emotions. That's really what it means. We're actually theologically right when we say God is bringing me to the end of my emotions, my feelings, those things I still depend upon. And God will do it. And this is why, you see, the Lord is getting us to a place where we have nothing else to trust, to look upon, to believe upon, except his word and his faithfulness. God is actually working through your circumstances, my circumstances, my trials, where there is nothing else to look on, to rely on, to grasp, nothing other than the fact that it is his word, his faithfulness, his covenant that is made with you and me. That is what your trials are this day, this moment, and what you're going through, or what you've gone through this last week. That you are thrown totally upon his word. Now, of course, that's nothing new. You've been taught that for years in this assembly. But we don't really know the value of the word till those trials come. And those trials are trying to get you away from looking at them, i.e. the emotions, and coming back to the word of God. For faith comes by hearing, reading, taking in the word of God. And that is the principle in operation. It doesn't change, and I thank God it doesn't change, even though I may have heard it 1,000 times. And when we settle this to believe, and that's all he does. He uses the trials to get you away from emotions, to settle upon him, upon his faithfulness, upon the fact that he loves you, he has not forsaken you, he has heard your prayers, he knows what you're going through. When we do that, then we find he was there all the time, we just didn't know it. The reason you didn't know it, because you took your eyes off the Lord. Now, we've heard many times, whether it be in prophecy, whether it be in teaching, we keep our eyes upon Jesus. And we tend to think that we take our eyes off Jesus when we're getting a bit busy, or there's demands and various things. And yes, that can happen and does happen. But I'll tell you where you take your eyes off the Lord more than anything else is with the trials. And you'll know whether you're looking to Jesus' word or not by that trial. That trial will tell you who you're looking at. And so, because Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith, you must look to that author and finisher, as it can't be finished. It can't be accomplished. His promise that he's made to you cannot be fulfilled in you, whether it's physically, emotionally, psychologically, or in blessings, healing, whatever it will be. And so he's The trial is showing me, because I'm now looking at emotions and I'm trying to get faith to work with emotions, that is a clear sign I have taken my eyes off Jesus. That's one of the clearest signs, when you're now starting to rely upon emotions. And who uses emotions? Well, you've guessed it, the enemy. And he will always make it plausible. He will always make it logical. He will always show reason. Until we get back to focusing on Jesus, and then we realize he was there all the time. He was simply trying to get my attention in that trial, in that test, and bring me back to him. And when you're brought back to Jesus, you're brought back to his word. For he is the word made flesh. You see? So you can see spiritually how this works with you. How the Holy Spirit ministers this to you and to me. So we have really got to settle this walk if we want to go on to the next phase, is that emotions play no part to this walk and what God has promised and what he is doing with this church. I speak of this church because I can't talk of any others, but I can only speak of what God is doing in Full Gospel Assembly. And so we find he was there all the time. We find this analogy actually happened quite simply when Jesus rose from the dead. I was looking at this. Look at the empty tomb in John 20. I just want to read this again to you. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Listen to the emotions coming through. Listen to it. Now, don't blame her, don't laugh at her, because you would probably do exactly the same. Peter therefore went out, and other disciples were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first, as if that's going to make any difference. And he stood... And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but folded it together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know that the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So you see, the word hasn't really sunk in. And so because the word isn't there, the emotions, the fear, the confusion has taken over. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. Emotions. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away the Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." I love this because the Lord ministers first to the mother who weaned him, who looked after him and brought him up. There you see that special relationship God has given between a mother and her children. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And so it is. There is a different Mary after the word, the revelation of the word. But notice, God opened her eyes. Up until then, the unbelief, the emotions, she couldn't see. And that is exactly what happens with us. When it's not faith and those emotions are there, we cannot see. But praise God, this is the mercy and grace of God. He doesn't leave us in that state, but he moves. And then he speaks to us. And when he speaks, then our eyes are open. And we see it's Jesus. And Jesus was there all along. I just didn't see him. And it goes on. Then the same day at evening began the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace to you, as the Father has sent to me, I also send to you. And so it goes on. That is why peace, faith, go hand in hand. Another clear sign, if you're not in faith, is the fact that that peace is not there. You see, Jesus immediately ministers peace when he appears to those disciples. We have other accounts where at first they don't believe. Thomas doesn't believe until he can touch. And so Jesus, again, because Jesus is so confirming the resurrection, that he is risen from the dead, that was the mercy of God, said, Okay, come on, Thomas, feel if you don't believe. Jesus didn't have to do that. But he was hammering home the root of the gospel, the good news that it's resurrection. I have triumphed over death. But notice that Thomas kept in that doubt, that unbelief. He was kept by the senses until Jesus overrode them. You see? And he does exactly the same with us. Emotions, feelings must be completely detached from the word, from faith, and our relationship with him. Completely detached. If you've got a problem, if you're battling this, then I would say that the best prayer you can pray to God, if you mean business, is to get before him and say, Father, work with me whatever it takes, that my relationship with you, my walk of faith with you, I am totally, utterly, completely detached from emotion, from feelings, from anything else that will try and separate me from my walk of faith. And guess what? God will do it. It'll be a battle. It'll be a fight. There'll be some times when you miss it a mile off, but I'll tell you what, God will do it. And you'll be a man or woman that will walk eventually totally by faith. Because that's what he wants. That's what he wants to hear from us. He wants us to face this straight on and stop pretending. Stop, you know, thinking, oh, well, it's happening to my brother or sister, but it doesn't happen to me. We, all of us, are bound by this. We're all of us held by this. So God, being a miracle-working God, can and will override this and work this. You see, sometimes we can use the word to get us off the hook in believing why it hasn't appeared or happened. And we use the emotions. Well, it hasn't happened because God knows that there's unbelief in me, or God knows that there's sin, or God knows he's bringing me to that place of faith. And so we're really using emotions at that point. You say we are? Yes, we're using the intellect. We're using emotions. We're using something to try and justify as to why it hasn't happened or it won't happen. Well, I want us to turn to the Word of God, because I think sometimes in this assembly we have been using things to try and get us off the hook as to why we don't believe or trust God. For example, in Psalm 103, and I want us to look at verses 1 to 5. And this is why we use sometimes excuses. It hasn't happened, it hasn't appeared, it hasn't manifested. Or God is still dealing with me. God will always be dealing with us. So there's nothing new about that. That is his love. And here it is. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless is his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's what he's promised. He's put no conditions there. You have. Are you still not convinced? Let's have a look then at verses 8 to 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Well, the Lord hasn't healed me because he's still dealing with sin in my life. Smokescreen. Now, it's not to say that he isn't. He does. But I've just said to you there, he doesn't hold it against you. Once you've confessed it, you brought it before God, he doesn't hold it against you. Your emotions, your unbelief, still allow the devil to hold it against you. And that's why you don't get healed. Condemnation. And so that condemnation is then disguised by the enemy. The Lord's dealing with me. He's doing a deep work. He's cutting away. And when I'm through, when I'm finished, then the manifestation will come. Well, if that is the case, I don't think anybody's going to get delivered, healed. And certainly wouldn't have been Jesus' time. I don't read anywhere in the gospel where Jesus said, I'll come back to you in 6 months' time when God, my Father's dealt with your heart and situation. I'll then come back. I don't read that, do you? No, at all. Not at all. And he was going to a rebellious lot with the light that they had. How much more? And it's not to say that God doesn't deal with sin. He does, and he will. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he rebukes. But the point is that going to stop you from being healed? Is that going to stop the mercy and love of God touching your life where he wants to? That is the point. We allow the condemnation. We allow the enemy to minister to us because, oh, I'm not right yet in that area. You never will be. Who's ever ministered that bondage? There's only one source that's come from, and that's the powers of darkness. Why? Because we still want emotions to justify as to why God has not done what he's done. And do you know what we let still work behind emotions? Pride. The devil knows because he uses it. He uses it. So we let those emotions motivated by pride come up with all the excuses as to why yet, you know, it hasn't happened or isn't God doing this and so on. That isn't faith. Faith is today, now, this moment. That is faith. That is faith. God has dealt with sin, weakness. He dealt with it at the cross. And you do him the greatest injustice when you keep bringing to him those things that you won't believe that he has dealt with at Calvary. I'm talking of a legal sense. Now, he may, from an application point, yes, he's working that deliverance. He's working that change, the same as he's doing it right today, this moment. Some of you in your seat are getting a deliverance right now. I know that because the enemy's having a go. But I know what the Lord is doing. You see? Because we still want to hold on to those emotions that I have thought was faith and is God and so on. And God says, forget it. It's got nothing to do with how you feel. It's what I have decreed. It's what I have said from before the foundation of the world. And thank God he said that, because we wouldn't be here otherwise redeemed today. He wouldn't. God has dealt with sin. He's dealt with everything at Calvary. And it is at the cross where we start, and it's where it will finish in this life. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What promises! It's in that waiting on God that those manifestations of his promises occur. This is why he gives such emphasis about waiting on God. Because the waiting, then you begin to then see those promises that God has made to you. As he's working them, as he's delivering you, setting you free. From what? Emotions? They're the only things that are stopping me. Yes, rejection is emotions. Pain is an emotion. Disappointment, loneliness, I can name them. They're all emotions. Everything that you can speak of has an emotional touch of some sort behind it. And they are real. If you wake up with a headache, it's real. That is an emotion, a feeling. But that isn't God's word. God has said differently. Yes, and it's that waiting until the manifestation comes. God is trying to show you your waiting on God is not in vain. And how the enemy... You see, we can even use that waiting on God in an emotional sense. Oh, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, he'll wait forever. He'll wait forever. No, a waiting on God is an expectant waiting. It's a waiting because I am going to see what's in the post today. I'm expecting something through from the postman. It's that expectancy. That is waiting on God. Not in apathy. Oh, well, I'm just waiting on God. Give me a break. Just waiting, you know. That's a lot of our waiting. And you're bound by emotion in that. Unbelief. And what will that do? That'll simply work depression. Despondency. And how the enemy loves to do that. That's why Mark 11:24, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing when you pray that you have received. There's the principle. That has got nothing to do with your emotions, with your feelings, with your eyesight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They are the principles God has given to us, to this church. And he is going to fulfill it for his glory. If none of you believe, the very walls and the very bricks here will praise God and believe, if need be. Yes, it is about waiting. And maybe sometimes in that waiting, he can chasten us. But it's simply to bless us and to prove his faithfulness. That's all it is. And how we can misinterpret it. Again, emotions. I'm offended. I am hurt. So, that's an emotion. Yes, it may be real, but that's still got nothing to do with what God has promised you. Because I have said, if God isn't true to his promises, I have no ministry. We have no church. We have no meetings. What would be the point? You tell me. But because we have, that is why God brings us week after week in his presence. And he still works with us, wooing us by his mercy and grace. Well, I've spoken in depth about these emotions, but praise God, he's always the same. He never leaves us dangling. Oh, well, what am I going to do about these emotions? You know, they've all been exposed in me this morning. What can I do? Here we are. Here's the healing side. How can I overcome these emotions? First, when you read the scriptures, the word of God, whatever your emotions are, no matter how overcome you are, or challenged, or you feel all those goosey bumps, oh, the Lord does love me, just, oh, that word, he's just quickened to me and so forth. Give me more. Okay, fine. But my faith has got nothing at all to do with that. If God has blessed you this morning with a word, praise God. But my faith isn't any greater, any less, because I feel God's presence. I feel his touch. I feel his love. Oh, I could go out and tell the world and lay hands on everybody because I feel the love of God. We've all done it. We've all done it. I'll tell you, if you stay with this, you'll get to a stage with God, you'll be sick of anything that you see that's like that. You will not want any part of that, because sadly, so much of that still goes on in Christendom. The second thing, how to overcome these emotions. Allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is in the Holy Spirit, to be matured and perfected in your life. You can't do it, but he will do it through the work of the cross. And as you take out that cross daily, that cross is going to work the fruit of the Spirit. And in a trial, in a test, whatever it is, you're going to find more and more, instead of looking at the emotions and relying on those emotions, the fruit of the Spirit will be there to anchor, to secure, to help in that trial. You say to me, well, that's going to be a miracle. Well, praise God, we do welcome. Believe in a miracle working God. And so he works the opposite to the emotion that wants to take over. The classic one, which we're often tested in, is anger. You know, doesn't take much, does it, to rattle us. And we feel the anger and the temper rising. Well, as we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work, and yes, that anger emotion is a real emotion, I know it is, you'll find then that peace, that gentleness, that long-suffering, that kindness will just start to well up. That's what it means, that out of my innermost being wells up those rivers of living water. So instead of that anger trying to take over, the living waters will start to take over. Now that only will happen if you want that, and you ask for that. If you want the fruit of the Spirit to balance you, to temper you, to help you, it helps you with your faith, then God's going to work that. He will work that intricate side. You can't do it. Don't try in your own strength to suppress anger. as psychology tries to teach you. And I'm convinced that's why that can bring on strokes, heart attacks, high blood pressure, nervous problems, you name it. Because people are trying to suppress. And that's all really psychology does. It suppresses. The Holy Spirit heals you. He syringes it out. And there's a fundamental difference. But by syringing out, he has to replace what he really wants there. And that is the peace, his love, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, and so on. He'll replace that there. Sometimes it may be a demon. So then that demon, when it comes away, he then ministers the healing where that once resided, took a place in your flesh, in the soul. Now God says that is removed. I will now put myself there, healing there. And that is what he does. That is what he's doing with you. That is what he may do this week. As you take this word and as you seek God, he may start to do that further work with you. You see? So praise God, this is where we change. You know, sadly, some of these things in passing can be brought out with teachers, but you will find there's not really the source, the power, the connection with God to actually have a changed life. There's the difference. God never does that. If he exposes, he's going to expose in order to replace and to heal. That is his nature. Thirdly, let the Holy Spirit work so you no longer trust those feelings, those emotions. Let the Holy Spirit so move in you and through you. He has come, he's moved alongside, he is your minister, he is to minister all the grace that God gives from the very throne of God. That is his role, his ministry, his function. Do not suppress the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life. You need him every second moment of the day. That is his. I say that because we so often can miss out on the Holy Spirit's work, his function. And as you say to me, yeah, but Pastor, what are you saying exactly? Well, allow the Holy Spirit, when you bring all of this before God, wait on the Holy Spirit and let him bring you into the presence of God. Let him quicken your prayers. Let him quicken your faith. Let him bring you before Almighty God to do that work. That's what we do when we come and praise God. We give ourselves time so that we get into the Spirit. So you need to do exactly the same. And as you get into the Spirit, the sacrifice of praise, worship, prayers, whichever way the Holy Spirit leads you, so he's going to minister this. You see, one of the things you've got to learn is that sitting under this anointed word, God wants to continue to let this be ministered to you when you go away. And when you seek him. Or when you take those notes down, or you think, I mustn't forget that, I've got to really seek God about that when I get home, or whatever it will be. That's the word continual ministering to you as you go away. And it will do in its nature. That's its blessing, you see. And fourthly and finally, just pray and seek God. Prayer is the key to this. That is why you have to have a prayer life. And how the devil tries to rob us of this prayer life. Or I'm not disciplined, or I didn't have the same backing and education that you did. It's easier for you. Well, I'm sorry, but those excuses are not valid at all before God. We all have an opportunity to seek God, but the trouble is we prefer our other creature comforts. Emotions again. No, I want to go and read my book instead. I get more out of that than seeking God. Well, probably emotionally you do. There's nothing new about that. But when you make that sacrifice and you seek God in prayer, wow, the difference. The difference. you'll find then that book that was sufficing, I don't get any more out of that. Same with anything. We want to use television as an escape. Oh, friends, you deal hard with yourself. Whatever it takes, let the Holy Spirit deal with that trashy vision. I tell you, that is getting worse and worse and worse. What is coming out of that? That is a sewer line into our houses. Be on your guard what you watch. The utter rubbish. And not only that, it's the time. How time consuming. It can hold you. When these precious things, the Holy Spirit's wanting to minister to you, you can seek Him and so infinitely blessed. It's all, you know, if we want to walk by faith and not by emotions, we're going to have to let God deal with all these things that still hold us. And we've all of us here still got things that we're bound by and we're held by. And they're the very things that you're held by are still keeping you bound by those emotions until you're eventually free, set free. You see, we don't tell you, you mustn't have a television or you mustn't go into a pub for a meal, because I know full well that some here are going to go and do completely the opposite, and God knows that. But what we are saying to you is, pray about it, ask God how He feels, and He'll begin to work these affections away from your heart. So that you just don't have time. You're just not interested. You're not interested in the world, its ways and what it does and what it gets up to. You're so absorbed by walking in the Spirit, by the Spirit, you're so absorbed that He's working those hindrances, removing them so that you are not held anymore by emotions that hinders your faith. No wonder the devil's working. No wonder the devil fears this and trembles at this. Can you imagine when God's people, the church, come through this and they simply are trusting God totally 100%, the power that is going to be available to this? No wonder it's going to be the greater works. Can you not see what the enemy, how he tries to hold us back, trick us? But praise God, He's one step ahead. This is why prayer is important. Not only your prayer time at home, but corporal prayer. We have prayer meetings. I want to see people at that prayer meeting on Saturday, so that we're pressing in together as a body. We know what the Spirit is saying over this church, so that we pray one for another. How can we know what it is to pray one for another as a church if we don't do it? If we don't do it. Some of the reasons we're not breaking through in this church is we don't pray as a church. We still let a few do all the work. And God ain't going to have it. There's got to be changes. And it's no good coming up with excuses here, but you know, you don't know my life. You know, I'm busy, I'm married, children, everything, so forth. God will take you right back away from those emotions. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Period. I'm having to learn that. Yeah, my workload has trebled. But God's working a miracle. He's allowing me to learn something. I know why. When I think, I can't cope any longer. There's just not enough hours in the day and so forth. We've all done it. I've done it. I only did it a few weeks ago. I can't take any more. And I heard a still voice say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God was not going to minister to those tantrums and emotions that I was manifesting. Wasn't. I knew He wasn't. I didn't have to rush to the Bible for a revelation on that. At all. Put me first. Right, get back to it. Put the kingdom first. And within half an hour, that peace was there. Half an hour, all those emotions, griping and moaning, had all been washed down the sink. The peace was there. The joy was there. Singing, you know, and then you hear, you know, the demands are on you. Think, praise the Lord, doesn't matter. If it's not done today, it'll be done tomorrow. If the Lord tarries. That is what he's doing. And what is he doing? He does it right in the midst of disaster. How did he deliver the children of Israel? Right when Pharaoh was putting more and more pressure on them, bringing out more complaints, gripings and emotions, and right in the depths of it all, God then delivers them and brings them out into the wilderness. It's your life and my life's exactly the same like that, isn't it? Just like that, when you just can't take any more, suddenly out you come. The waves part, and there it is. Why is it? Because my emotions have taken over and I'm not seeing Jesus and the promises. That's all it is. I've taken my eyes off him. It's so easy, isn't it? It is so easy to take your eyes off the Lord that it gives me a godly fear. I have said, Father, my eyes won't be on you unless you work and you help me. Because I want my eyes on Jesus all the time, but I know myself too well. I know there's too many influences, but whatever it takes, work it. And yes, there's deliverance is coming. Yes, God has tries me, tests me, but how will I know otherwise? How will you know? So there we are. We have got to take these emotions very, very seriously. And as I leave one thought as to why this is so serious, emotions brought the first sin, rebellion, into the world. Eve saw that it was good. Emotions were moved. The taste buds were inspired. The eye gate saw something nice to look upon, to handle, and to try and to eat. And so passing it on, Adam is moved by emotions. So he's not only moved by Eve's emotions, but he's moved by her emotions and what she has and what she presents, and he doubly takes on even worse. And we know the story. God gave them time to repent, to get it right, but those emotions had come in, and the moment the emotions were there, then the emotions brought out its confession. And what was the first negative confession that emotions, feelings brought? The woman you gave me tempted me. There it is. There was his confession. No longer is she a blessing, she's become a curse. There it is. Yes, brothers, I know we're laughing. But there it is. Right there. Right there, the unbelief took over. The confession took over. And God said, right, I've got to provide here. I've got to cover them. Because if I don't cover them, my presence will destroy them. That's why he did it. God's holiness had to cover them straight away. Deal with that. Because his very presence would burn them up. There was sin present. See? So it doesn't change. It's right there. Right there. It's one thing I love about the Word of God. It's on time. It's not out of date. It's with it. It's cool. It's everything. It is the Word of God. And it speaks to me. It speaks to my life. It gives me hope that God is able and that I serve a miracle-working God. Don't even try and work it out. Don't even try and fathom. It'll be this, that, or whatever it is. Forget it. Just know that he loves us. He has done it at Calvary. He has provided. And all he asks is just to simply believe. He'll do the rest. Amen.